Well, good evening. My name is Jezde. I'm the curate here at St. Peter's. And can we show our appreciation for our choir this evening? Tonight we've had Christmas readings. We've had Christmas carols. I think it's time for a Christmas quiz. Are you ready for a quiz? Here we go. Ready? Question one. Every year, tourists and Londoners make journeys to see Christmas lights on Oxford Street and Regent Street. Approximately, how many people visit the lights each year? Do we think A, 1 million, B, 5 million, C, 10 million, or D, 20 million? Have a chat with the person next to you. Lock in your answer. Okay, locked in. Here we go. Here we go. Right, so was it A, B, C, or D? The answer was C. Okay, have you got a point yet, or are you still on zero? Okay, question two. Question two. In the Nativity story, Mary and Joseph had to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem. How far was their journey? Was it 10 miles, A? B, 30 miles, C, 70 miles, or D, 100 miles? Okay, locked in. The answer is? It's B, 30 miles. Okay, question number three. In the movie Elf, yeah, very good, Buddy the Elf journeys from the North Pole to which city to find his father? Is it A, New York City, B, San Francisco, C, Los Angeles, or D, Boston? Okay, let's find the answer. The answer is A, New York City. Okay, here we go. Question number four. The Christmas rush often leads to epic journeys across London before Christmas. Which London transport line is historically the most overcrowded during Christmas Eve? Is it A, Jubilee Line, B, Northern Line, C, District Line, or D, Piccadilly Line? Okay, the answer is C. Yeah, I know, District Line, there we go, okay. So how are we doing? How are the points? Anyone got 4 out of 4 yet?
No.
No one yet, okay. We'll do a bonus round in case there's a few people leveling in your groups. The bonus question is, what links the last four questions? What was the link for the last four questions? There's no A, B, C, or D here. Okay. The answer is they are all about journeying at Christmas. Journeying at Christmas. And there we go. So well done if you won in your group there for this year's Christmas quiz. Because journeying is a big part of Christmas, and you now know to avoid the District Line on Christmas Eve. Can I also advise to avoid the Putney Bridge as well? That would be terrible on Christmas Eve. Many of us will be traveling to visit family and friends over Christmas. Maybe you're traveling across London, or even to other parts of the UK, or even further, traveling not by donkey, but by plane to other parts of the world. Now, the Christmas season involves journeys, doesn't it? But not just kind of physical journeys. Christmas is often a time for us to journey not just to places, but also it often allows us to reflect and to wonder. We love the lights, we love the carols, the storytelling, and the good food. It's a unique and special time of year. Why is it special? Is it just the nostalgia, the carols, the lights, and the food? Or is there something more going on? Perhaps you've had a hunch or a thought that there is something more to life than all this. And that hunch, it seems to be more tangible at Christmas as we pause to wonder and sing songs. There is something about the Christmas season that makes us look up and out more than perhaps we would throughout the year. Can I encourage you to lean into that hunch, that thought or sense of there being something more? It's a journey worth taking. And this deep desire for something more is not just a hunch we may feel now, but it's what we see and we saw in our last reading in the Bible in Matthew 2, read by Anna. This is what some of the words said from that reading. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." The Magi, often known as wise men, felt a sense of there being something more out there. We've all heard of the wise men, the Magi. Maybe you were once a wise man in your school nativity, dressed in bright colors, holding a present, wearing a beard. My daughter next week is wise man number 6. I'm very proud of her. In fact, some of her classmates were cast as different roles. Some even had Dragonhead 5 and Dragonhead 6. If you want to know why this local school has dragons in their nativity, come and find me afterwards. Magi were part of the ruling classes for centuries. They were the in crowd, having sway over all things religious and scientific and political. And their rule continued throughout different empires even, starting with the Babylonian Empire and continuing into the Persian Empire. As well as being powerful in the political sphere, they were known for their skills in logic and astrology. They were always looking for something more. Their wealth and their power just didn't satisfy them. So they kept searching and seeking for something that could truly satisfy. And so when a star rose that they did not expect to see, their desire for truth, their hunch for more, led them on a journey to pay homage to this new king. It was a long and risky journey, but their desire for truth took them to a different nation, a different empire, the Roman Empire, in search of truth. The Magi, having seen a star over Israel, have made the connection that the star must mean a new king of the Jews has been born. And like many journeys, their journey wasn't straightforward. I personally appreciate the redirecting a new route on the feature on Waze when my sat nav has worked out as a new and quicker route home, so I'm kind of redirected home away from the traffic. Well, this is kind of what is happening here with the Magi. But instead of Waze, they had the Bible. And so where do you go when you're looking for a new king? Well, when looking for a new king, you go to the current one, don't you? But it turns out the current king, King Herod, knew even less than the Magi. He didn't know a king had been born. The Magi's logic and maps, their study of astrology, the stars, has led them to the wrong king. Their knowledge is not enough to get them to the right destination. They need redirection. They weren't redirected by Waze, but instead they were redirected by something far better. They were redirected by the Bible. This is what we were told from the Bible earlier. They were told this: "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. It was a surprise. This king was not in the capital within the palace, but in an unknown town. It's been a few days since Jesus' birth, and Mary and Joseph had now managed to find an Airbnb. They found a place to stay in. And so after hearing this, they redirect their plans away from Jerusalem, the Magi, to this little town of Bethlehem. Now, you may not be a whiz at maps. Your orienteering skills may not be as impressive as the Magi. And when it comes to astrology, well, we only get a chance in London, do we, to look at the stars. Maps and astrology might not be your cup of mulled wine, but these skills were not enough for the Magi to find Jesus. In this room, there will be amazing talent and achievements and giftings. Yet none of those things can bring us to know Jesus on its own. We must let the Bible turn our heads and our hearts towards him. That hunch, that dissatisfaction you may have felt, that desire for something more. Have you ever considered that the answer may be found in the Bible? Have you ever considered the redirection that you might need? Will we, like the Magi, allow the Bible to redirect our journey to truth and satisfaction? But why should we allow the Bible to redirect us? Well, we can see with the Magi, it was a journey worth taking. Again, from Matthew 2, we see these words. After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. These Magi, probably because of their wealth and power, would have been accompanied by a huge entourage, and they finally arrive at their destination. What was a hunch at the start of the journey is now a life-changing discovery. And even though there were a few wrong paths on the way, they have arrived to see the King of the Jews, this child, Jesus. They were overjoyed to find the location of this king. And it wasn't just enough that they found him, but when they arrived, these Magi, powerful and influential, do the unthinkable. They arrive at the door of a lowly Jewish woman and they worship her child. It's weird, it's strange. Why would these men with such power fall to their knees and worship and praise a child? It's because he was not just a child. He was the king. And not just any king, but the king of all of history, of all of geography. Earlier on in our readings in Matthew 1 this evening, we heard that Jesus was called Emmanuel, which means God with us. This king is not like any other king. This boy is the Son of God. This is the miracle that we marvel at every Christmas. And the only right thing to do when we come before something so majestic is to bow and to worship him. Their hunch at the start of their journey, their dissatisfaction with their own riches has now been replaced with joy and satisfaction and worship. Their journey was worth it to discover the living God. And it would have cost them, wouldn't it? It would have cost them materially, these precious gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. The Magi offered their worldly treasures as gifts. But in return, they got to receive the most precious treasure in all the universe, God himself, God as one of us, God come to us, God with us. It would have cost them spiritually. They are now changing who they worship, and that's a big deal. To have worshipped Jesus would have meant they would have to stop worshipping their own gods and idols. To worship Jesus means to stop worshiping something else. And it would have cost them socially. They had to go back home now to their wise men colleagues and explain this new way of thinking about the world. It would have cost them to follow Jesus. This famous journey told to millions, if not billions of people every year is one of the greatest ever journeys. As we close, let me invite you to consider this journey. I want to invite you to make their journey of discovery your journey. Christmas can be an exciting, wonder-filled time of year. And it may have made you wonder, is there more to life than this? How much will you invest in that hunch, in that suspicion, in that wonder that there may be more to life than this? Maybe for years you viewed this journey from afar, but never chosen to begin it yourself. The Magi needed the direction of the Bible to find Jesus in Bethlehem. And the direction they received is still available today. You can find it in the Bible today. You can find it here at St. Peter's, taught every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6:30 p.m. You could find it in our course we're running in the new year called 321. That will look at the claims and teachings of Jesus through a number of short videos and discussions in local homes in the area over here around midweek, over evenings in January and February. Do you have a hunch of there being something more to life than just this? We would love for you to come on this journey, a journey that I and many here at St. Peter's have taken and know it is so, so worth it. So what's exciting you about Christmas this year? Is there a hunch you have that there is something more to life? Would you consider following the journey of the Magi? To find, to discover, to know, and to worship Emmanuel, God with us. It could be the start of the journey that you have been waiting for.